OFM Art Beat. Art Beat.
Joining me in the OFM Art Beat from my birthplace, Potchefstroom, today, we go and visit something called Attached to the Soil. And although I don't even know the context yet, I too am attached to the soil of Potchefstroom today. Peter Glendening joining me. Welcome to OFM.
Well, thank you. I happen to be attached to the soil in Potchefstroom today as well. I'm right here. So it's a good soil to be attached to. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share a few words about this project.
So this is a project that originated a few years back. How did you get involved and how did you end up at the NWU at Potchefstroom campus?
The project actually originated in 1994. And in fact, it originated when Nelson Mandela put his hand down after taking the oath of office and spoke his very first words to his compatriots. And that's actually the way he started. He said, "To my compatriots." He said, "Then I have no hesitation that each one of us is as intimately attached to the soil of this beautiful country as are the famous jacaranda trees of Pretoria and the mimosa trees of the Bushveld." And that's where the phrase "attached to the soil" comes from. The project is really meant to reflect as a foundation President Mandela's aspirations for the country. He put that symbolically in a phrase that relates to the soil. And he said, "I don't care, essentially, whether you're a jacaranda tree or a mimosa tree or a fever tree," which you've got here also. And all sorts of strange trees here compared to Michigan, the United States, where I'm from. "But we all have our roots in the same soil." What a beautiful metaphor he proposed. And I was struck by that back in 1994, because from 1978, when I joined the faculty at Michigan State University, South Africa was an essential part of the DNA of my university. We were the first, and I think perhaps the only university in the United States, to have its board of trustees sell every single stock in any company doing business in South Africa in 1978. It was their way of making a protest. And the university lost a lot of money on that, but it was a moral stance that people back then felt they needed to take. So right from the moment I joined MSU in September of that year, the board having made its decision on that in March, South Africa was part of what I viewed Michigan State as being a part of. And we've had a longstanding African Studies Center. We could fast forward from there to 1999, when I was invited here to speak about professional business practices in photography by three of the technicons. And Michigan State's mission is very much outreach and service oriented. So it was great for me to come, and at that point, 5 years into the new democracy, to share how we do business in photography in the United States. And it's at that point that I established relationships with academics here that I've maintained over the last 28 years. It's been a real pleasure to reach out and have hands reach out across the waters and connect not only faculty, but our students as well.
Indeed, and that's where this project also comes into the picture, because the students were involved.
Oh, yes, they're absolutely the genesis for it. I always knew when I was here in 1999, this place was rocking and rolling. In fact, I went back to my wife and I said, "We might retire to South Africa. There's just so much economic activity and so many things going on there." And I always wanted to come back the 25th anniversary year of Nelson Mandela's inauguration. So I did. I thought I'd come back as a tourist, but I actually came back as a Fulbright scholar. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. State Department, and it sends about 8,000 people a year either to the United States or from the United States to other countries for educational purposes, academic research, outreach, and other activities. So I was awarded a Fulbright Scholar grant to come to South Africa in 2019, the 25th anniversary year. And I proposed to do the project entitled Attached to the Soil, founded on Nelson Mandela's inaugural address and his aspirations and his hopes, asking young people, how did that work out? Were there other people who had their own aspirations, their own understandings of what the community of South Africa was? And the answer is obviously yes. As it is in every country, there's no single person whose vision forms the future. The future is formed by the visions of many, many different people and their own symbolism, their own metaphors. So I asked the young people in 2019, I said, "You're living in a community called South Africa that's the result of the symbolism, really the hopes, the realities of people who have led the country in various ways, upper level and local level as well. Now, in 25 years, there's a baby born on this very day who might look back and ask you, when you're 25 years older, what was your symbolism? What were your hopes? What were your realities that you tried to form this community called South Africa to be? And so it's really, the project is founded on the aspirations, the realities, maybe the past experiences, maybe the future hopes of young people. Anybody who's, as they call it, a freedom baby or a Mandela baby. President Mandela had lots of kids, didn't he?
Indeed, no. Father of a nation.
Yeah. And so it's their aspirations and their realities that are going to form the future. So what I asked them to do was three things, actually, to find a person whom they know with an experience in that person's life that is related to something that the young person feels is significant about the experience of being a South African, or maybe the future of being a South African, or maybe the past. And then from that knowledge that they have of this person, to create a soil-related metaphor, just like Mandela did. So to give you an example, Blessing Zaba was a student at Durban University of Technology, and he proposed the metaphor, they may bury you in the soil, but they don't know that's a favor because you are a seed, and obviously you're going to grow. And the person that he had in mind related to that metaphor was a woman who, during apartheid, was arrested for protesting, and she was put under house arrest, and then she was also banished for a period of about 9 years. So when she emerged, she eventually became the vice chancellor of Durban University of Technology. Her name is Ela Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's granddaughter. She was maybe the most famous person that we portrayed in this project, but our oldest was a 92-year-old man who was a fellow from Bamaganye village in Mpumalanga. He was a police officer during the 1950s, and very unusual for a person from a village background to go forward and become a sergeant in the police force back then. Our youngest subject was a little baby, about maybe 3 or 4 months old, and his mother, and lots of people in between, hairdressers, farm workers, the former owner of Billabong stores in South Africa, you name it, all proposed by the young people who had some sense that this person had a story, had a life that related to what the young person's goals were, not only for themselves, but for others like them. So in the projects, we did an oral history interview of each person, not the young person, but each of the subjects. The young person proposed a soil-related metaphor that related to that person's life. And then we wrote a story based on the oral history interview and made a tableau photograph. Now, a tableau portrait is one in which the person is seen in a scene, almost as if they're in a theatrical stage.
True. I saw some of the photos that were shared with me from the gallery, and it's very interesting. Some look like it's an action shot, you know, someone is running away from something, or there's a guy that's kind of swimming on the lawn outside of the university gates. Like, very interesting, these action shots almost.
Yes. So many of them were from students right here. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but over 10% of the projects in the initial 50 are from Northwest University students, which is a great credit to the university and the kind of depth of liberal arts education that they get here. If students, not only here, but at all the universities that I worked with, who didn't have to do this project at all. I mean, they were not getting marks for it, no assessments. They just felt that they had something that they wanted to contribute to the dialogue about their country and about their lives, and also the lives of the subjects that we portrayed. Very, very important. In fact, the young baby is one of the projects done by a Northwest University student. And I think as somebody looks through the work, they're going to recognize maybe people they know, maybe even themselves, both in the aspirations of the young people and also in the subjects that we portray. It's really meant to present a panoply of representative types. And, you know, one of the great honors, honestly, that we have in regard to the project is a foreword that's written by Professor Adam Habib. Adam Habib was the vice chancellor at Wits University during the Fees Must Fall period. He's certainly the most widely known academic, I would say, in South Africa, but he's a worldwide figure. He's currently the director of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. But he wrote a foreword, and in about 750 words, he just really nailed it as far far as what this project is about. And I can give you just a little bit of a quote. He talks about each of the individual projects as being ones that are a necessary corrective, quoting him, to the public narrative of what South Africa is and could be. It's a more authentic narrative, for it reflects the voices of ordinary citizens, not the political and economic elites who purport to represent them. And he says, it's a narrative that is needed now more than ever before. They present the national psyche in a completely different way. They suggest that South Africa comprises a people who want to belong, who desire unity, and want to live in peace with their neighbors, whatever their identity, cultural expressions, or historical trajectory. And it tabulates the everydayness of their lives, the diversity of their jobs, the simplicity of their desires. He says further, all of them want to live a better life, to do better by their families and loved ones. But they also want others in their midst to also have the same. And really, I have to say, with every single young person I spoke with, they either flat out said this, or in other words said it. They said, goodness gracious, we wish these old people would just get out of our way and stop trying to divide us and let us come together. And that's really the underlying theme of all of these, is that young people have a voice of optimism and hope. Even in some of the stories that are actually quite tragic, some of them, they're put forward because they're references to what people don't want to have happen. And it was just such a great privilege for me to really be the funnel through which the aspirations of the young people are conveyed, and also the stories of the people whose lives echoed and were relevant to those young people's aspirations.
Professor Peter Glendening joins us, Fulbright Scholar and Professor in Art History and Design at the Michigan State University in the United States. Now, the Northwest University Art Gallery currently hosting Attached to the Soil. It's on until the 16th of September. And there's also a virtual tour that you can take. If you'd like to check that out online, you can go to ofm.co.za. Just visit my blog, Mid-Morning Magic. Peter, you are in South Africa visiting various universities in your time now. And I do believe our partners may cross when you go to the William Humphreys Art Gallery.
That could be. OFM Art Beat.